Welcome to Common Salvation, the Sermons and Other Thoughts of Pastor Philip Hoppe, a pastor in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. This sermon was preached at Trinity Lutheran Church in Colby, Kansas, and also at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Hoxie, Kansas. The text for the day was 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning in verse 29 and going through verse 35. Let's listen in. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It is a struggle for all of us. How do we balance all of the roles that we have been given by God? How do I balance being a pastor, a husband, a son, a brother, a member of the community, and so on? How do you balance being a business owner and an uncle and a city councilman? How do you balance being a mother and a wife and caring for your aged relatives? It's hard to figure out, and anyone who says it isn't is probably neglecting some of their roles in order to focus on the others without much thought. But today it seems there is good news. Paul gives us a way out. He says that knowing as we do that the end of the world is always near, he suggests that we treat everything else as trivial. He seems to suggest that we could ignore the stresses of trying to please our spouses. We can stop focusing on the business matters that bring us grief. We can ignore all those things that are so momentous that they make us want to weep, or things that make us want to shout with joy. After all that is passing away. So, go ahead, tell your spouse that you're too devoted to the Lord to fix that thing at the house or to spend intimate time with them. Tell your business partner that they'll have to figure it all out because you are focused on the return of Christ. Tell your emotions to calm down because you are centered only on the things of Jesus. It sounds ludicrous, doesn't it? I mean, certain days it might seem a little tempting, but still, overall, it seems ludicrous. After all, we know that our real temptation would be to use this idea as an excuse to turn inwards, rather than to really devote ourselves completely to God. We would like to ignore our other vocations in order that we could serve ourselves, not so that we can serve our God. But I think we also need to be careful not to overreact to what we have heard. For when we meet something in the Bible that sounds ludicrous, we're tempted simply to ignore it. We want to take nothing away from it because we're convinced that we can't do what it says anyways. Our text for today seems to be one such example. But let's be clear. Paul is not merely being provocative for being provocative's sake. He is speaking about how we truly should think about this passing world, especially if we honestly believe that the end is near. And I should say that I hear people all the time suggesting now that the end might be truly, really near because of the wars and rumors of war and because of the lawlessness all around us. But yet I really hardly hear any people actually talking about making major changes in their lives because of their belief that the end is near. And in this sense, Paul calls our bluff in one sense. He asks if we are really letting how we believe determine how we live. We say that the world might end, and yet most of our time and energy is spent on worldly pursuits. We're more concerned, we might say, with retirement than we are resurrection. Paul does in our text make some rather bold assertions. While not requiring things, he does suggest, for instance, in this same section, that single people might consider remaining single in order to not be distracted from kingdom work by family life. He also suggests that every person should sort of just remain in whatever situation they are, rather than striving for big changes in their life, even when those situations they're currently in are not exactly ideal. He suggests that widows should consider not remarrying and devote themselves fully to Christ's church. And I think we have to be clear that Paul is actually calling for the consideration of such choices. He thinks belief in the sudden resurrection of Christ leads to such very real considerations. And Paul, he is not crazy. No, instead, he is our faithful teacher in Christ. And as he writes here, he is inspired by the Spirit of God. And so, we cannot dismiss his words as simply being his own ideas. We must consider, as we hear these words, how our belief in Christ's return and the passing nature of this world should impact life as we live it every day. So let's do that. You see, the basic thing that God calls for us to do through Paul is that we would be devoted to the Lord without distraction. And Paul makes clear that this thought is not given to place all sorts of burdens on each of us. This is not just a premise for new laws and new requirements. Even while suggesting certain things, he makes very clear that they are not compulsory. While suggesting that people may remain in the state they are in, he makes clear that the unmarried, for instance, may marry and not sin. The widow, though she might be happier to remain in that state, is told she can remarry also. And by extension, we understand that we can continue to take care of our spouses, our businesses. We can rejoice and mourn as it's appropriate and not sin. But that does not simply free us to just do what we want according to the flesh. While we are tempted to ask what is allowed, the Spirit today leads us to ask what is best. Ultimately, we must ponder this. What is distracting us from total devotion to the Lord? For Paul's words here are really an exposition on the commandment, that first commandment, that we should have no other gods. Yes, that first commandment, both in order and of importance. And here is the point. Every other role you have in life, it may be important, but it cannot become more important than your devotion to God. So if you have a decision in life that comes down to either pleasing your wife or pleasing your God, you must please God. If the decision is between putting a smile on your child's face or upon God's holy face, you must make God happy. If the choice, for instance, is between making money or walking in God's ways, well, then you must clearly walk in His ways. But it's probably best here that we get a little bit specific. For no doubt, when that big tournament or game or match occurs on a Sunday morning, your child is going to beg to be able to go and compete. But what does the Lord say? Is it not to remember the Sabbath day? Your husband or wife may demand that you need to watch that show you watch together because it's your only quiet time together. But is binge-watching 3 episodes going to lead you to believe that you don't have time to gather your family together for prayer and meditation on the word of the Lord as God calls you to do? Your business partner might call and say that while he's not sure it's exactly ethical, this or that has to be done if everything is going to stay solvent and profitable. But you must make clear in those moments that you will not bear false witness, nor will you steal in pursuing your goals. Your relative might invite you to their housewarming in that house that they share with someone they are not married to or that they could never be married to in God's design. But you must continue to hold marriage in honor. Indeed, balancing all of your vocations, your roles, your callings is something we must each do. But it's ultimately not what this text is about. This text is about the recognition that one of your callings supersedes all the others. Your calling as a child of God demands that first and foremost you are devoted to the Lord without distraction. Yes, even the distractions that might come out of the other relationships that are there in your other vocations. Now, of course, blessedly, many times, and probably we should say most times, living in your other vocations is perfectly consistent with being devoted to the Lord. It's not a distraction from being devoted to the Lord, but the very work He has given us to do each day. Yes, we can love the Lord with all our heart by loving other people. But there will come those times in our lives when those vocations threaten to become distractions from devotion to the Lord. And in those moments, yes, you must act then as if you do not have a spouse or that you do not conduct business or that there are no things that you want to weep or mourn about or rejoice in for that matter. Paul says that these things he writes to us for our benefit, not to constrain us. The Spirit of God, then, we know, writes them for us in order that we might benefit and not be constrained. For many, many people, of course, have been led away from the faith while trying to please other people. And many times those people they are trying to please are people that God has given them a proper relationship with. But when any person seeks to please those other people more intensely than they seek to please God, those other things become instant idols. And it happens so seamlessly and quickly. We're just worried about how to care for those other people, and all of a sudden, we end up caring more about them than what our Lord has said. We forget what pleases God in order that we might please them. Soon, we're telling them what they want to hear rather than what is true. So today, let us consider such things. Let us consider how the people we interact with in our various callings, those various callings that God has given to us as our places to serve, those same people can at times become distractions from the devotion that we are to have to the Lord. And don't only consider this today for a few minutes while you are listening on the radio. For if you do, you will likely not dig deep enough to truly understand the depth of this trouble as it rests in each of us. Spend more time in the coming hours or days thinking about the ways in which other people become a distraction to your devotion to the Lord. But already now, you probably already know at least a few ways in which you have failed to serve the Lord without distractions. So confess those. Confess that there are surely other examples yet to be considered. Bring those things to God in confession. And why? Well, because He is devoted to you. He is devoted to you without distraction. He does what is good for you. And so today He hears your confession and He speaks these words of forgiveness to you. He brings you all the fruits of the cross where Jesus showed just how devoted He was to you. He gives you His life and His ways to guide you all your days. Don't be distracted from serving the Lord. No, not even by the other people God has given you to serve in general in your life. But leave knowing this, God is devoted to you. He gives you exactly what you need. He does that in Jesus. Thanks be to Him. Amen.